And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
I love the Raiders. Most of all, I love to win.
You're now listening to State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Ted Nguyen, and Deshaun Reed on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Ted Nguyen, Deshaun Reed, getting you set for the Raiders' trip to Los Angeles to check out the new SoFi Stadium and to take on the Los Angeles Chargers. Kind of one of our themes last week going into facing the Browns was that they were a 5-2 team that maybe wasn't quite representative of how good their record is. I think the Chargers, in a lot of ways, might be kind of the opposite. They're 2-5, and that might not be representative of how good and how dangerous they are. I mean, Justin Herbert has obviously been really good here his rookie year, but this is a team that we've coined the term chargering over the years because they always manage to blow games, and they've blown, what, four straight double-digit leads. But, I mean, they're a dangerous offense. They have a quarterback who's really playing well, so this should be an interesting game on Sunday.
Yeah, they're like the Seahawks, except for they don't come through at the end. They end up losing. And that loss against the Broncos was pretty stunning. I mean, I was watching that game. They were dominating both sides of the ball the whole game. And then the fourth quarter, the Broncos score 21 points, come back and win the game. And you know, Drew Locke hasn't played well this season, too. So he lit that secondary up in the fourth quarter. So it's just, I don't know what it is with them and just collapsing the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is their defense hasn't been what I think most of us expected going into the season. I think while we were talking about the division in the offseason, you know, I think we all expected the Chargers defense to be pretty good, especially the pass defense. And at least so far this season, they're 21st in pass defense, and they're pretty average on defense overall. And so, you know, it's not unlike some of the Chargers teams that they've been in the past where the offense is really good and then the defense is susceptible to giving up some runs and some big point totals, but they've been competitive in all their losses this season. So it's definitely not a team that the Raiders can overlook. And that's something that both Coach John Gruden and Derek Carr stressed today. Obviously you're always going to say that, but I genuinely, you know, think they view this Chargers team as better than your typical 2-5 team. And of course, when it's a divisional game, it's always, you know, there's a higher chance of it being more competitive anyway, but it's going to be interesting when it might end up being closer than the game against the Browns, even though the Browns have been a significantly better team this season. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, the Chargers are getting out to big leads. I mean, rookie Justin Herbert's been phenomenal so far at quarterback. Just he takes shots deep. He can hit all the short throws. He's athletic enough in the pocket. So definitely they found something there. Just a matter of, like you guys mentioned, the collapsing late in games. I mean, Anthony Lynn, I'm sure, has got to be on the hot seat at some point, the way they folded up shop and some of these losses this year. So I think obviously the team's playing hard for them. They get off to great starts, but something's definitely going wrong in the second half when they break down in all facets and kind of lose these games that they should win.
You know, one kind of stat looking at them that reminds me a little bit of the Raiders from last year is that they're second in the league in total offense, but 17th in points per game. I mean, they're 25.6 points per game. It seems like that's a solid total. It does only put them 17th and not quite marrying the total offense that they're picking up with scoring all the time. You know, their red zone offense it has not been great. I mean, about what the Raiders are, scoring a touchdown 59%. That's 21st in the league. So, I mean, that could be one area to watch is what are the Raiders able to do to the Chargers when they get in the red zone.
One big thing for the defense, I know last week, even though they played pretty well against the Browns, the weather was a major factor. And, you know, that doesn't look like it's going to be a case in Los Angeles this weekend. And so I think the big thing for them is going to be, you know, forcing the Chargers to be one dimensional. It's gone overlooked with how well Herbert has played, but I think they're eighth in the league in rushing offense so far this season. You know, as we know, I mean, they've been playing better as of late, but the Raiders have been susceptible to getting gouged on the ground as well. So If they're able to shut off one of those, either the pass game or the run game, probably have a better chance. But otherwise, this could be a kind of a regression week. I mean, obviously, they're not going to – I don't think they're going to hold the Chargers 6 points or anything like that. But just in terms of their overall play, this is not a great matchup when you look at it for the defense.
Yeah, we'll see if Damon Arnette is back this week. He's supposed to be at practice tomorrow, John Gruden said today. So there's a chance he's back. If not, it'll be a huge test for Nevin Lawson. I mean, we figure Keenan Allen will be covered by Trayvon Mullen. But the other receiver, Mike Williams, definitely a big target. Makes a lot of plays downfield, uses his size and jumping ability. So that'd be a tough test for either Arnette or for Nevin Lawson.
Just watching back in the game, I thought Nevin Lawson just didn't play well. He is a weak spot in his Raiders defense right now, and Arnette was playing better before he was hurt. I like his physicality against a guy like Mike Williams, so it'll be a good test for him. It'll be a good receiver to kind of develop his skills against. So I would like to see Damon Arnette against Mike Williams, and Keenan Allen is going to be a big test for Trayvon Mullen as well. I'm curious to see how he matches up against a route runner that's that quick and crafty.
All right, well, looking at where the Raiders are at, you obviously mentioned the Raiders are hoping to get Damon Arnette out there at practice on Thursday and see if he can make his return on Sunday. What's it looking like with Bryan Edwards? I know there'd been optimism that they could get him back this week, and that would be a nice boost for the offense just to kind of see what the rookie can do. You know, we saw a couple glimpses before he got hurt, but haven't really got to see what they have there yet.
Yeah, he was at practice today. You know, he didn't look noticeably limited in any form. Obviously, he practiced last week and didn't play. I just think they're taking it a little bit cautious with him, but you know, maybe with Nelson Aguilar, I don't think he had a catch last week. Maybe, you know, with his production dropping off pretty substantially, I mean, along with the rest of the receiving corps, but, you know, maybe that's a reason to push a little bit more to get him out there on the field in game action this week. But, you know, they've been patient with it, you know, as with all the injuries with their rookie class, they haven't shown with any of them that they'll rush it. So I'd probably put Edwards as a higher chance of play than Arnette, but it's still not 100% guaranteed.
The Chargers' run defense has been susceptible, so I think this is another game where the Raiders' run offense could build on their success of last week. Right now, the Chargers are ranked 18th in rush defense, DVOA, and a couple weeks ago, John Robinson from the Jaguars had a big game against them. So I think this is another game where Josh Jacobs is going to go over 100 yards, and if they could control the ground and take some time off the clock like they did against the Browns, I think it'll be huge for the defense.
It'll be interesting to see what Jacobs is like this week after such a heavy workload last week. The 31 carries tied for the fifth most in the single game in franchise history. Obviously, you know, career high, really, really heavy workload for him. You just wonder, you know, is that something where there is any kind of a cumulative effect coming back the next week if, from getting all that work?
They could let Devontae Booker get some carries. Maybe it'll motivate him like those commentators said last week. But this might be a good week to get Devontae Booker maybe 10 carries. Give Jacobs a little bit of a break, especially such a heavy workload last week. A
couple carries for Ruggs wouldn't be a bad idea. I think they need to find more ways to get the ball in his hands.
You would hope they can throw the ball more than 10 yards down the field this week, so maybe they don't need to run as much as they did last week.
In terms of the offensive line, still no Richie Incognito out there at practice. You know, I think we all kind of know what the situation is with Trent Brown. He's made it back from released from the hospital in Cleveland, back with the team and at the facility on Wednesday. I don't think anybody's really at this point thinking so much in terms of if he's going to be able to play on Sunday, but it does sound like that health scare that he had in Cleveland, he made it out okay from that.
John mentioned today that he's back at the facility and doing better, but I haven't heard about anything as far as his ability to play this week yet. So,
has there been any news about Sam Young?
I believe I saw him in practice today. The last couple of weeks he's been limited in practice. So, you know, it's back-to-back starts for him that he's gotten hurt.
I was going to say, it's Brandon Parker season, man. Brandon Parker, everyone is caught up in the sensation that he played so well last week, so we'll see if he can follow up this week.
I mean, at some point, the way it's gone with Sam Young, where it's a couple times now where he's gone in there and not been able to last very long. You know, even if he feels like he's able to play, you wonder if they say, "Yeah, let's roll with Parker." I mean, he played well. You know, he's a guy that obviously has really struggled in his NFL career. If he can build off of a good performance, and who knows? It's hard to judge an offensive lineman playing in those conditions, because Ted mentioned it after the game that it's hard for the pass rushers to really dig in and get much of a rush going. It's hard for them to get their footing, so pass blocking becomes easier. And, you know, again, when you're the offensive lineman moving forward in those wet conditions, you know, run blocking becomes a little bit easier because you can kind of lean on a guy and they might lose their footing. So it is hard, I think, to judge an offensive lineman's play quite as much in those conditions. But he did play well, and it would be nice to see if he can build off of that. And, I mean, he's never a guy that I think they're going to count on as their starting tackle. But if he can at least be a reliable depth piece for a year or two, that'd be important.
This week against Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, it'd be really nice to have Trent Brown back just so you don't have to help on one side too much. But John Gruden has shown in, you know, the last couple seasons that he knows how to game plan and protect his tackle when he needs to. And obviously the development of Colton Miller, how well he's playing this year, he's not going to need much help. So obviously it'd be better if you don't have to help out the right tackle too much. And with Trent Brown in there, you don't have to. You could just free release your back and get more guys into the pass concept. I mean, Trent Brown would be big any week, but especially this week with two blue chip pass rushers coming off the edge.
Hey, come on, man. Give Brandon Parker some credit. I got some faith in him. I think they should. I'm in on the Brandon Parker train. I think they should run him back with him starting. I just don't think Young getting hurt back to back weeks. I don't know if he's really 100% right. And he hasn't played that well when he's been out there. So I say go for it. If Trent Brown can't go, put Brandon Parker back out there.
I think if Sam Young can hobble, Sam Young will be starting. But we'll see. I could be wrong.
Tashawn, you wrote about another guy on that offensive line on Wednesday. Denzel Good has become the unsung hero for the Raiders. And really, he has. I mean, the way he's been able to, we saw when he stepped in at tackle, obviously being able to fill in at guard for them with Richie Incognito's absence. He's been really key to that offensive line and really a proof that you can't go into a season just saying we have five good offensive linemen and be able to bank on that.
Yeah, it's been kind of interesting. You look back at like the last 2.5 years that he's been with the Raiders, he's just sort of been that guy for him. I mean, he only played 4 games with him in 2018, but he started 3 of them because of injury. Then last year he started 5 games because of injury, and he's already started 6 games this year because of injury. And that's just, you know, for a guy that's only making $2 million, for him to not only do that, but be, you know, playing well while doing so. I mean, it's, you know, incredibly valuable for the team. And with the Colts, he had both experience playing inside and outside, but obviously, he didn't expect to have to jump out to right tackle in that first game or the first couple few games of the season, and then have to switch back over to left guard. And he's been holding it down for Incognito. Obviously, he's not to the level of someone like Incognito or Trent Brown when he was at right tackle, but he's been better than your typical backup would be, I think. And, you know, like you said, you know, especially, I mean, obviously, most years aren't like this one with all the injuries and the positive COVID test with Trent Brown and now his health scare with the IV. You know, this is an unusual year, I think, for any team when it comes to the amount of, you know, injuries and missing pieces they've had on the offensive line. But, you know, that's why it's key to hold on to these guys and have some depth in the, on that offensive line room. He's not the only guy that's had to step up. I mean, we've seen, you know, rookie John Simpson, he probably wasn't expected by many to play this year. He's had to step in spots, and Brandon Parker having to essentially start games. And so, that's a big shout out to offensive line Tom Cable for holding it down for him. And obviously he plays a large part in that, training guys to be able to play multiple positions. And, you know, it's the cliche, you know, always be ready to play because you never know what will happen. But a lot of times teams see a massive drop off when it actually does happen. And it hasn't happened so far for the Raiders.
Yeah, Good's made himself some money. I mean, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent next year. I imagine he's going to be one of the hot free agents next year for such a big need at offensive line now. I think teams are going to be lining up to try to sign him.
Yeah, one other guy the Raiders got back, Daniel Ross, came off IR. I mean, defensive lineman. I mean, that defensive line can always use some more depth pieces. I mean, what kind of role impact do we expect out of him going forward?
Well, he should get a shot to play, I think, if Mohurst is out with the ankle injury, which I think he will be this Sunday. So, any, like you said, anything they can get up front will be welcome. I think I'm not sure what they're going to do with Chris Smith. He had a quarterback hit last week, but he was reverted back to the practice squad. So now that's twice now. So if they want to bring him up a third time, it has to be for good. They have to make him add him to the active roster at this point, or else it'll be on waivers for anybody else to pick up. So if you do bring him up a third time, it'll have to be a legit active roster spot rather than just the weekly call-up nod.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, let's take a few questions here before we get on to our game predictions. We'll start here with Alex V. Trade deadline question. Any players the Raiders were trying to trade for but couldn't agree on? Any they were trying to trade away? Any sense they were active at all in trade talks going down to the wire? I mean, it wasn't a very active trade deadline, especially, you know, right here at the end.
I don't think so. I think if they were going to add a guy, it probably would have been Carlos Dunlap last week. I know he wanted to come to the Raiders. He's got ties with Paul Gunther from their Bengals days, and it could have worked salary cap-wise. The Seahawks actually had less salary cap space than the Raiders did, but the Raiders decided not to do it. I think it may be a combination of maybe it's not only cap space but cash issues, and also I think they realized if you bring in a guy like Dunlap, we talked about this thing before, like he'll have to play, and you have young guys you want to see actually get some playing time, see what they are. So I think they weren't really make that big of a leap last week.
Yeah, I just wonder why they, if cap was a concern, why they made that move, restructuring Littleton's deal. Kind of get the extra space this season, you would figure they intended to do something with it, and that'll take away some cap space, going into this offseason. So that was a little bit of a strange move, I thought, in retrospect.
Yeah, Dunlap ended up restructuring his deal with the Seahawks too, I believe.
Yeah, so it's actually less of a hit. I mean, I think it would have been a $4.5 million hit this year, but I think now it's he reduced it in half and gets the other half later on. So obviously, he was willing to make it work. So I think we'll look at the Raiders if they do get some more pass rush the rest of the year, or if they look back and say, "Well, we had a chance to add a veteran, pass rusher to our playoff bid, and we didn't do it." So I could see there being some regret at some point if the other guys don't step up and get some more pressure on the quarterbacks.
All right, question here from Davis N. Was the Raekwon McMillan trade worth moving back around in a pick swap? Never hear you guys mentioning him on the pod. He doesn't really play much, right?
No, he had a shot against the Patriots, and that was where they brought him in. He was supposed to be a run stopper, and the Patriots ran. I'm not saying it's all him, but obviously he was a part of it. He played a lot that game, and they ran for 250. So I think in the coach's mind, see, John Gruden's not one to always have the most patience, I think. So I think in his eyes, we traded for a guy to be a run stopper, and we give up 250, so that guy's kind of dead to me. So he hasn't played very much at all since. I think at this point, they brought in the linebacker for a workout, Kendricks, a couple of weeks ago. So obviously, they're looking for linebackers. They're not happy with what they have, but that didn't work out. So, yeah, I think in hindsight, that probably wasn't a great trade in the Raiders' mind.
One defensive snap since the New England game. He played 19 snaps in that game. He's played one the next week. He's played no defensive snaps the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I guess part of that was just them trying to salvage the Lynn Bowden mistake, but clearly that didn't work out.
All right, question from Darren Y. Will we see David Irving active this week?
I don't know. I think my sense last week was that he was not in good shape. I think I don't know if it was Gunther or Gruden who mentioned it, but the conditioning was not quite there. I think at this point, if they were going to call up, I mean, he was going to play, probably only for like 15 snaps, I'd guess, is all they can probably handle at this point. So I'm not sure what the desperation is, if they really need a rusher that bad, I think, or they can wait a while to get some better shape. So my guess would be no this week, but again, I don't really know what they're thinking as far as how much impact he'd have in say, 15 snaps.
We already kind of addressed this, but real quickly we'll go over what can we expect this week from Arnett. I mean, I know, Tashaun, you said Edwards is a better chance to play than Arnett, but I think they're hopeful they can get Arnett out there. What are your expectations?
He still had the cast on today. He was around the team during the warm-up session on his right hand. And John Gruden said the visit with the specialist in Houston went well, but I just don't know if you know, 2 days of practice, given how long he's been away, is enough for him to bounce back and play this week, especially, you know, going up against this Chargers passing attack. That's a pretty tough matchup for his first week back. So, but, you know, as we talked about earlier, Nevin Lawson, he struggled last week. And so, you know, they feel like he can't hold up and give him a shot to win, you know, in coverage on the outside, then maybe they put him back out there. But just given their history of being more conservative with guys coming back, whether it be Ruggs or Edwards or Arnett, my gut feeling isn't that he comes back this week, but it's, you know, it's not impossible.
All right, question here from Nathan. Is Peterman now quarterback 2 because it turns out that he's actually good at football? Or is Mariota really struggling? Vic, time for you to get on your Mariota
trade again.
Nah, see,
you guys say I talked too much about Mariota. You guys told me to cut off my...
I mean, Nathan wants to know about Peterman. Is Peterman really good at football?
Ask Ted then. Ted, go ahead. You take this one.
I haven't seen him at practice, but I mean, you know, John Gruden loves his quarterback projects, and it's a project he's been working on for a while now. So Peterman knows offense. It's not an easy offense to learn. Mariota barely has reps because he's been, he was injured during training camp. It's just a comfortability factor with Peterman right now.
Tashaun, what do you got?
Well, I don't think either one of them are particularly like good on. Right now. I mean, I wouldn't use the word good, but Peterman's been around like longer. We'll go with that one.
My sense is that Mariota, Deshaun, I both saw, he was terrible at training camp. And then they said he had all these injuries that they couldn't get, if it was the wrist or it was his ankle, then they had the pectoral thing. So I don't know what the deal was. But it was a nice excuse for a while. I said, okay, that's why he's not playing well. Well, he's healthy. He's been back 2 weeks, and he's third string. So obviously the training camp issues have carried over. So my sense is that Peterman's the guy the rest of the way. I'm not sure what that means as far as how good he is. But, you know, Gruden likes his athletic ability. He's a smart guy, knows the system, yada, yada, yada. So I do think he's number 2 for a while.
And now, 2 pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, our last question. Then we have one comment before we move
Ooh,
on.
A comment,
predictions.
Nice.
Yeah, it's for you too.
Oh Jesus, never mind. Is it negative? Is it positive?
No. It's good. All it's right, good. Right, right. From Philip Mills, he wants to know: do you think we'll see Joyner in the safety spot more after the 2 great plays he made on the last drive on the Browns game?
I think the first one he was still a nickel, but they switched him to safety for the second one. You know, he made a pretty nice. It was more of a hit than a pass breakup on Landry. So it all comes down to how confident they would be in Amik Robertson playing that nickel spot. Like we saw him a little bit more there earlier in the season, but you know he struggled in moments, and we haven't seen him as much since. I don't know if he's ready to handle major snaps, you know, starting at nickel for Joyner to make that transition. Or I guess the alternative would be putting somebody like Lawson in the nickel. We saw him working some there in training camp, but I just don't know if they have enough confidence in Joyner's replacement at nickel to switch him back to safety.
Yeah, I agree. I think we'll see probably a little more of him at safety, but I think he'll primarily still be at nickel. Maybe until, like Deshaun said, if when Arnett comes back, they can move Lawson to nickel. I think they could like him there also. But that'd be the one case where I think it'd be possible that Joyner can move full-time. But I'm not sure that's in their plans. I think they still like him. I mean, they've always liked him a nickel better than safety for whatever reason. I know fans, that drives them crazy, but that is true. So I'm not sure that's changed because of one hit on Jarvis Landry. So we'll see, though. I definitely think it It's good when you notice Lamarcus Joyner because you don't always notice him. So I think when he makes plays and you notice him, you should make a note of what spot he's at and circle that and say, huh, that could be something that we look at more often.
Ted's been noticing him all year, man. Ted's been noticing him all year.
All right.
Where's the film breakdown?
I meant the last 2 years.
We need the full Lamarcus Joyner film breakdown.
Oh, there you go.
Ted.
Come on, Ted. Get to it.
Oh, man, I already started writing, so I don't know if I want to start over again. Next week. But, I mean, the thing is, he's been playing well at a nickel spot. It's just I think there's so much carryover from how bad he played last year that everybody's like, he thinks he's still playing bad. But he's been pretty solid at the nickel position all year, and then, you know, he shows up more in this Browns game. But I do think that they will play him at safety in those special packages because – on that play where they did play him at safety, that last play, they put Amik Robertson in. And I think the reason why they moved him to safety is because they wanted Abrams to be near the line of scrimmage to, you know, either blitz or just kind of cause havoc just by faking a blitz. So in those special packages, you know, we might see Joyner play a little more safety. He's played well at the nickel spot, so I don't see a huge need to move him right now.
My theory on Lamarcus is not more so last year than this year, I would say, but maybe overall, that I think when he makes a bad play or a bad play happens around him, I don't think he shakes it off well. I think he'll get in a funk for 3 or 4 plays. I think for being a veteran guy, you'd think he'd be over that, but I think that's an issue with him as far as being able to shake things off. I think you see him get in the pattern and he kind of gets frustrated and you see it building. So I think that's one of the issues he has to work through.
And when it comes to DBs, I mean, a lot of times when you're watching, I mean, you want to see, I mean, this is coaches too, not just fans watching at home. I mean, they want to see those impact plays. And, you know, those two plays at the end of the Browns game, those are impact plays that help you win a game. You know, people want to see, you know, the interceptions and all that. And so the Raiders have not been good about forcing turnovers this year. And that's not just a Lamarcus Joyner thing. That's just, it's kind of how they've been the last couple of years. They haven't been a team that forces a ton of turnovers. And I think that's one thing that people, even if he is playing well, until they see turnovers and impact plays, they don't notice it as much. But all right, let's move on with our comment before we get to our picks. And Vic, you're going to get to make the first pick this week because Shashi has a request for you. He says, please ask Vic Tafer to pick against the Raiders again. Take the L for Raider Nation.
You know, I'm glad I realized that because it was a personal favor because all you guys picked the Raiders. I had to go the other way. I had no choice. So I'm glad he realized that. So I will do him a solid. I will pick the Chargers this week. My score will be Chargers 31, Raiders 28.
All right, Tashawn, what do you got?
I haven't figured out a score yet, to be honest, but I'm going with the Raiders. I'm kind of starting to turn into this 3 in a row. I'm liking that the comment we got from a couple weeks back, but yeah, I think I'm going to go on the road and get the job done. I think it'll be a close game, but I just don't trust the Chargers. They've been choking all year, and you know, I don't think the Raiders defense plays as well this week, but I think, you know, the offense performs at a higher clip with them being able to actually pass the ball downfield. And they're able to take advantage of that Chargers defense has been underperforming so far this year. So I got the Raiders winning their second in a row.
Oh, man, I kind of want to pick against the Raiders just because I've been picking them so much. Well, I didn't pick them against Tampa Bay, but I think what's going to happen is the Raiders they're going to control the ground game. They're going to score some points. Herbert's been great, but he's been kind of taking some chances throwing the ball in situations that he shouldn't. So I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but Herbert ends up turning the ball over in some inopportune times. So I'm going to take we'll go Raiders 31, Chargers 28.
I'm going to go Raiders 35, Chargers 31. Both teams can move it offensively. Both teams have had their defensive issues. We'll see if the Chargers can jump out to their early lead that they choke away. I think this is one that's going to be a little bit of a back-and-forth battle, and we won't be able to have weather as an issue to totally screw up our high scoring predictions like we did last week. So Raiders 35, Chargers 31, and they trim their magic number to get into the playoffs to 1. They'll just need one more win the next week and they clinch their playoff spot.
Yeah, well, I am the hater. I'm the hater of the bunch. That's cool.
You're the hater.
I'm the hater.
All right, guys. Well, should be a fun one on Sunday. Tashawn will be there in LA checking out the new digs at SoFi Stadium. So he'll give us the full review of
Vic's coming too, right?
Yeah, I'll be in the house.
Yeah, we'll both be there. Yeah,
very nice.
Locking it down.
Very nice.
It's a big game, nice. Man. It's for the bragging rights of California and Nevada or something. I don't know.
I screwed up. I'm going to San Diego this weekend. I didn't realize that they moved.
Swing by, I'll man. Stop by on the way. It'll be a party.
Yeah, yeah. All right, guys. Well, we will be back Sunday night after the game to break down the Raiders and the Chargers.
All right, y'all. Peace.
Talk to you later.
Peace.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.